Folks, welcome to Generations. This is Kevin Swanson, Executive Director for Christian Home Educators, also a pastor. But the reason I'm here today, I'm a father of five, raising my children out here in the eastern plains of Colorado, and hoping that my children will carry on a vision for the next generation, hoping that somehow my children will be faithful to the faith that I handed down to them, and more than that, that they make an impact for that faith. But folks, we want to deal with rebellion today and wild oats. Let's start with the Virginia Tech shooter, obviously a guy who rebelled in a pretty radical sense and shot some 33 folks out there at Virginia Tech several weeks ago, Cho Soon-hui. And Newsweek came out with an article on his past, and we find out that he attended the Korean Presbyterian Church there in Virginia after his folks moved over here when he was 8 years old. He was in the Sunday school program. The pastor was quoted as saying, well, I don't think he ever listened or he ever believed anything we ever said. So we've got the pastor claiming that the guy was pretty much disconnected from this thing. But what we find is a young man moving from sort of a covenant home, a family situation, to a more anonymous college campus into isolation. So typically this is the way these shooters go. They move from family to anonymous relationships into more isolation. And as they are completely isolated from all humanity, they're given up to torturous thoughts and perhaps even demonic possession or influence. And the end result is catastrophic for society. Well, folks, let's get back to this idea of wildness. Not every kid is going to rebel in this sort of way. And thank God for that. Otherwise, this world would probably not exist. So God does protect us from ourselves in many ways. But you know the scenario. A kid does grow up in a Christian home. And maybe even attending a Christian school. Or maybe he's been homeschooled. But he yawns through the sermons at church. He's really not interested in what's happening. He's not getting the faith. It's obvious he's not receiving it. He's not enthusiastically walking in the ways of God. And the minute he graduates from high school, he takes off, he goes to college, and within a week, he's not going to church, and he's staying out late Saturday nights, partying hardy, and we're beginning to see a young man sowing his wild oats. And that's what we want to look at today. First of all, let's walk through the process, because you know, Dave, even in my family, as I was being raised, there were some periods of time where we weren't really quite sure about some of my siblings. Now, thank God today, all six are serving God in some capacity somewhere around the world, and my parents' prayers are answered. And my folks really had the vision to root and ground us in God's Word and to see ourselves serving God in His kingdom. That was their passion. That was their vision. And yet there were some years where we weren't quite sure. There were some what I'd like to call wobbly years, you know, where there was a little wobbly and our parents really weren't quite sure what was going to happen. Well, let's walk through the process, folks, because I think there are some families that deal with the potential of this wild oat stage where the children walk away from the faith and maybe even do some things that are pretty bad and might even get involved in some criminal activity and some other things. And these are painful times for parents, but let's walk through the process. The first step of this process of a young man getting out into the field to sow his wild oats, the very first step that happens before he even winds up in the field is he seeks after flaky friends. Yes, flaky friends. First step in the process of sowing wild oats. Generally, if a boy's heart is not connecting with his father, he's going to seek after flaky companions. He's going to find them anywhere he can, whether it be youth groups or in the neighborhood, wherever he can get them. And more often than not, Dave, these days, young men are finding flaky friends on the internet. I mean, even if he's homeschooled, If his heart is being pulled away from mom and dad and he doesn't really want to tie the commandments of his father around his neck, he really doesn't want to listen to the laws of his mother, as is talked about in the Proverbs. You know, father is saying, son, give me your heart. Come close to me. Observe my ways. His father is pleading with him to walk in the ways of God, but his heart is pulling away from his father. At times like these, he's going to seek friendships, even on the internet. You might be able to protect them from a lot, but it's hard to protect them from the internet.
Well, it is hard to protect them from the internet, and a child left many hours alone in front of the screen, even if it's video games at first, is a child who is isolating himself from relationships. Eventually, he might seek them out playing games with someone else on the internet or having friends over the internet. But right, that's an unhealthy sort of relationship that's developing, and it's one that can be intoxicating.
Guys, this issue of flaky friendship is the first step towards sowing the wild oats. You need to be watching out for this. You see it all the time. Young men looking for the most rebellious, the most flaky friends he can find. Now, maybe it's not the worst of friends. He's not in the inner city finding some gang out there, but he's looking in the church. Maybe he's in the youth group, and he seeks out the flakiest kid in the youth group. This is a sign that your child's heart is wandering, is getting away from God and what God wants for this young man. The Proverbs warns us about this again and again and again. God's book on wisdom is the Proverbs. You need to be teaching your children from the book of Proverbs, I suggest, every single day. But here it is, a couple of verses I just picked off the top here. He that walks with the wise shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. A severe warning there from the father of the Proverbs to his son. He that is a companion of riotous men shames his father. And there's another one. Here's another one. My son, if sinners entice you, consent not. If they say, come with us, cast in your lot among us. Let us all have one purse. Join our gang here, young man. My son, walk not in the way with them. Refrain your foot from their path, for their feet run to evil. And Dave, another passage says that foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. And if foolishness is bound in the heart of a child and you're a companion of a lot of fools, you will be destroyed. And Dave, there's a danger for our children to be involved with friends, even their own age, for long periods of time, especially if they're not being discipled by their own parents. Also, you know, I think another myth out there is this idea that somehow our children's friends need to be those of their own age group. I think there's some danger here. Certainly, that's not the case. My son's friends include Chad, who happens to be our assistant and works with this program 3 days a week. And that's a key friendship, has been a key friendship for the last couple of years that Chad's been involved in this program. And I appreciate the fact that Chad takes time to befriend Daniel, and Daniel can look up to Chad. And one of the benefits of having friendships that are older than you, say you're a 14-year-old and you have a friend that happens to be 18 years old, at least he's a little bit wiser. You know, Dave, that seems to be a benefit, to have friends that are a little older than you.
If they are wiser than you.
Yeah.
Because they could just as easily be a bad influence.
Sure. Folks, friendship's absolutely key. The second step to sowing wild oats is bad attitudes and disrespect for mom and dad. And this sort of thing prevails as a young man walks down this path towards sowing his wild oats. That kid's heart is a million miles away from his dad. And that's, of course, one reason why he's running down after these other companions who are effectively fools. He's attracted to foolishness because he's not attracted to his father and his father's wisdom. He could care less what his father says. And even, you know, in our situation, Dave, my children are now in their teenage years. Several of my children are in their teenage years. And I have to watch my heart. I have to watch my own self. Sometimes my heart wanders from my kids. And sometimes I can see my children's hearts are wandering from me. Now I try to pay attention to this. You know, sometimes we're sitting around in Bible time and I'm talking about God's word and I might get a little emotional and I appeal to their hearts, you know, during that Bible time. And at that point, Dave, I'm looking in their eyes. I want to see how they're responding to me. I want to know if they're really connecting. As I am emotionally drawn to God's word and I'm emotionally drawn to them and appealing to them, I want to know how they're receiving that at that moment.
And I think that as a parent, if you know your child's heart, if you're around them, you will see how they respond when you ask them to do some task, especially if it's an unpleasant task. Go clean the garage. Do they roll their eyes? Do they say, do we have to? Do they say, yeah? Or do they willfully and willingly and joyfully go serve?
And Dave, I think you got to pay attention to that attitude. What are they sharing? What are they betraying of their own attitude by means of facial expressions, or as you say, you know, vocal expressions, ways they express themselves to you as you ask them to do things? And you need to really deal with attitudes. That's critical. You got to deal with those attitudes. If you don't nip them in the bud, they can get out of control pretty quickly. Ladies and gentlemen, in just a moment, we're going to talk about why the wild oats stage. We're going to walk through the process of wild oats and how to prevent them. How do you prevent your children from going through those bad teenage years where they're sowing the wild oats? Some people say you got to go through that stage. I'm saying, you don't have to go through the wild oats stage. We'll be back in just a moment on Generations. My name is Kevin Swanson.
Ladies and gentlemen, Generations with Kevin Swanson and Christian Home Educators of Colorado present the 2007 Family Conference. Join thousands of parents and teens at this family conference featuring hundreds of workshops on homeschooling in the family. And for the very first time, the 2007 conference will host an unprecedented lineup of the nation's best worldview speakers for an all-day worldview super conference, including Dr. David Noble from Summit Ministries and Kevin Swanson with Generations Radio. Equip your family on the defining worldview issue of our day with the renowned Australian creationist Ken Ham from Answers in Genesis. Conference 2007 is coming up in Denver on June 14th through the 16th. For more information, go to chec.org or call 1-877-842-CHECK today. Make a lasting investment in your family's relationships, worldview, and educational vision. Register for the Conference 2007 now at chec.org.
Back on Generations Today, this is Kevin Swanson with you, Dave Buhner, just a couple of dads trying to figure out what's what in life. And, you know, Dave, you've got five children, I've got five children. Mine are in the teenage years, yours are approaching their teenage years. And we really have to deal with these issues of the wild oats stage. Much of the problems with the wild oats stage could be avoided. Much of the problems of the wild oats stage could be avoided if we take care of things early on. And I think that's one of the most basic lessons of all of parenting. If you ignore things, you allow the weeds to grow, by the time you get to the garden, they may be 6 feet high and you need a chainsaw to pull them out. But if you can nip them in the bud, if you can deal with it in the early stages, so much better, so much better.
That's why we're called to disciple our children. We're not simply to usher them into adulthood. We're to disciple them, which means that we're going to teach them certain disciplines, disciplines of asking for forgiveness, disciplines of going and meeting with the saints on the Sabbath day, disciplines of daily Bible study. These are lifelong disciplines that are going to guide them in behavior. You also want to discipline them in expectations. The idea of adolescence going through a rebellion stage is a modern and a new phenomenon. It isn't certainly a biblical one. What we see in the Bible is that as children approach adulthood, especially the boys, they want to take over portions of their father's fields to honor their father and to create a living. This is not the expectation that we're giving our children today. The expectations need to be given to them of a holy and righteous life.
And expectations are vision. That is their vision for life. And you're giving them a vision that they're going to go through a period of rebellion or through a period of adolescence where they are going to rebel against mom and dad. Folks, that's the wrong vision. That's not a biblical vision. The biblical vision is very clear. Honor your father and your mother that it may go well with you and you live long upon the earth. That's the biblical vision. Boy, we've got to completely rearrange what our children are learning in the world around them, because that vision does not comport with a biblical vision.
And you know, Kevin, I think sometimes that we can give them the wrong vision by the words that we speak. Well, you know what? If you're setting a bad example, you know, you have no hope anyway.
Yeah, yeah. All right, folks, talking about expectations. And Dave, one more false expectation that I think leads to the wild oats stage. And this, I think, is the number one reason why we've got wild oats happening with the majority of young folks leaving the home today, is because we're raising the expectation that there will be what I call the age of unaccountability. Dave, you've heard of the age of accountability. I got this new phrase just came up with this morning called the age of unaccountability. It's the idea that our young teens will anticipate an age that they will not be accountable. That there is a time in their life where they will be on their own. They will be independent of all relationships, all meaningful relationships, especially the family relationship. We tend to raise our children with the expectation that there will be a time that is soon to come when they will be unaccountable to anybody. They'll be entirely on their own. And my friends, this is not a biblical approach. It's this idea that you're going to be raised in a family, there'll be a period where you'll be in a family, and then you're going to go into a second period where you're in an age of singleness and independence, and then you're going to go into a, if you're normative and you're the typical person who gets married, you're going to go back into a stage where you're going to be back into a family. So it's this three-stage view of life. Unfortunately, the Bible speaks of something completely different. The Bible in Genesis 2, at creation, God establishes the norm for social life. For this reason, a man shall leave his mother and father and cleave to his wife, says God. So what God says is a man moves from a family to a family. And Dave, this is normative, but I think we've lost it. I think the average single out there, the average college kid out there doesn't understand this.
Well, I think the average college kid is looking forward to that special time in his life when his parents are no longer over him. It's a very interesting time. It's a time when a child is exposed to alcohol, perhaps in mass quantities, where women are sent off by their parents with the idea to get a man. And so they're advertising their wares in ways that they might not have in high school, and certainly their behavior is less than chaste. There is little accountability. You're in a fornication culture. And what makes it so good is the parents are paying for the whole thing.
And I have to say, Dave, that the worst period of my life was that wilderness time when I was in this age of unaccountability, this age of singleness. My family was out on the mission field. The churches I was engaged with were kind of small, but for the most part, there was almost no connection and accountability. Nobody really cared. I had some godly roommates, I think, which helped the situation somewhat for me. But I did live a few years on my own when I was out of college with a fairly dysfunctional church situation. No godly elders really connecting with me, looking me in the eye and saying, hey, what's happening, man? That was not happening during those years. And folks, this is not the biblical way. Actually, this age of anonymity or this age of unaccountability is something that Cain came up with. If you think about it, man by nature gravitates towards being a vagabond like Cain. He wanders from city to city. He gets lost in the big city. He might get a job in the big city. Nobody really knows him. He cuts off contact with his parents. He breaks relationship, or maybe the relationships he establishes are really superficial because he doesn't like the accountability that comes with the relationships. He might have these friendships, these loose friendships, but for the most part, he has very little accountability. And folks, this is why the parent-child relationship is still the most important. Even if they're not attending church, there's still a reminder of their past that they had a biblical relationship. And when they hit rock bottom, I think there's a possibility they'll come back home, and this is, of course, the tale of the prodigal son. And Dave, just for a moment, let's talk about the prodigal son, where, I mean, this sort of thing has happened before. It happens a lot of times. I've seen a lot of cases where kids walk away, they sow some wild oats, and they come back home. They're repeating what happens in the parable of the prodigal son. One of the things that happened to the prodigal son is he is raised by a loving father, he has a loving environment, and yet he leaves that environment, and yet, even as he's feeding the hogs, even after his friends, you know, who are shallow, his friendships were very shallow. I mean, they were with him as long as he had some money and he had enough money to have a good time and to party hardy. But at the point where he was destitute, these guys left him on a dime. Obviously, when you live the life of the vagabond, which man by nature likes to live, your friendships are really shallow and they really won't stand by you as you're going through a tough time in your life. Well, there he is in his really sad state. But what does he remember at that point, Dave, as he sits in that pig pen feeding the hogs? What does he remember? He remembers his dad. He remembers home. And folks, that's what your child is holding on to, is still remembering. And by God's grace, if your son or your daughter is going through the wild oats stage and they hit a rock bottom, by God's grace, in many cases, they come back home. Well, a couple of points also. The father didn't come after him, Dave. I don't know if that's important to you. I think it is an important aspect to the story. Yet the father is anticipating, praying for, hoping for, waiting with open arms for his son's return.
Yeah, in the story of the prodigal son, the father doesn't send him away. In so many other cases, a father does send his son away, perhaps to a college. I think of a good friend of mine when I was in college who was sowing some wild oats, who was having a little bit difficult time. His father did come and take him back and brought him back into his household, got him a local job and straightened him out a little bit. The man is a pastor this day. So I think there is a difference between a child who leaves home on their own and one who is sent out by their father.
Yeah. Good point. Good point. All right, folks, just a few minutes left talking about sowing wild oats today on Generations. Let me give you just a few pointers how to prevent the sowing of the wild oats. How do you prevent this thing, which it seems to me has been almost normative for the average kid raised in a Christian home? How do you prevent wild oats? Well, number one, remove all possibilities for competing influences. If the youth group is corrupting your children, you need to take that away. You need to make sure you don't take something away without bringing something back into it, though. Please don't ever replace something with nothing. Don't do that. Bring in good influences in your children's lives. Begin to exercise hospitality in your home by inviting godly people, godly families, people who can influence your family and your children in the right sort of way. Bring in good friendships. And Dave, do you think I'm going out on a limb here by saying you ought to avoid some youth groups if those youth groups are going to corrupt your kids?
No, I don't think you're going on a limb at all. In fact, I think you ought to limit the exposure you have to your own entertainment around your child, especially if you liked James Dean growing up. I'm suggesting that maybe that rebel, that youth rebel, is not the kind of image you want in front of your sons, especially because they might come to find him heroic as opposed to pathetic.
Yeah. All right, folks, remove all possibilities for competing influences that will corrupt your children. Secondly, get your children's hearts. You know, work on every hint of a bad attitude from the time they're 2 years old. Just don't leave bad attitudes alone. Don't leave. If you know there's a bad attitude, don't just walk away from it saying, well, he's got a bad attitude today. Just keep working on those attitudes and connect with that heart and bring them back to God's Word and share God's Word. And say, you know, the attitude I'm getting from you is not an attitude of gratitude today. I want to hear a little more thanksgiving from you for the good things that God has given us. And so nail those issues in your children's lives and minister to those issues and then bring them back to God every time, every opportunity that you get. All right. And finally, never give your children the idea that they will be on their own someday. Folks, that's the wrong way. That's the wrong worldview. That's the unaccountable vagabond worldview of Cain, who becomes a vagabond in Genesis chapter 4 and then goes out and builds a city and creates more anonymous relationships. That's the world view of those that want to be lost and lonely in a world without God, okay? So you tell your children they're always going to be in a context of relationships. And Dave, you know, people say this when they say, you're going to be on your own someday when you leave this house to be on your own, etc. Don't say those sorts of things. That's not God's intention. It's not good for man to be alone. That's what God says in Genesis chapter 2. I know that Cain wants to be a vagabond. He wants to be on his own. But God says it's not good for man to be alone. Now, if they're single and they don't have a family someday, they will have the church. They won't be alone. And the church needs to retain a close accountability. Even Paul, remember the Apostle Paul traveled with Barnabas or Silas. He never went out alone. He always had a close-knit brother relationship with him all the time. You will never be on your own. You need to express that to your children and tell them in no uncertain terms that the godly lifestyle, the godly social lifestyle will always include close-knit covenant relationships. You're never going to live without these, son. You need to make sure you send that message home to your children. Ladies and gentlemen, we are bringing a biblical worldview to bear. We want to bring a worldview of truth and relationships to bear in a world without truth and relationships, in a world that is lost and lonely. That's a biblical worldview. And my friends, that also instills a lot of hope and a lot of love and a lot of joy in a lot of homes. Bring back truth and relationships to a lost and lonely world. That, my friends, is the objective of this program, Generations. And you can interact with the program by emailing me at host@kevinswanson.com. And you can hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson, and I want to invite you back again next time as we lay down a vision for the next generation.